Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for joining us today. I sure do appreciate that. And in the studio, we've got Lewis and Clark County Commissioner Andy Hunthausen. Andy, how are you doing today?
I'm hanging in there, Troy. Nice to see you.
Yeah, you drew the short straw today. It's a rotation through the through our county commissioners. We'd like to get them all in here. And this was Andy's week. This has been an interesting time for the commission, but we were chatting right before the show started. You are back meeting in person now. It's not a Zoom meeting situation now.
Right. We lived the Zoom world for a while there, and now we're back meeting in person, but we're wearing masks and staying separated. And being a small commission, you know, three-person commission, we are able to stay far apart in our chambers, and we have precautions for those that want to come and provide public comment. And it seems to be working well right now, taking the safeguards and following the precautions set forth by public health.
So. Yeah. I mean, even it's obviously different, but it's got to be nice to at least be kind of back to normal, right?
It is. Yeah, it was a weird experience to be having official meetings on Zoom and trying to, I guess wade through all the different iterations of that in terms of who's on, what the topics are, how to get things presented to people and on the screen and then listen to public comments. So it was an interesting experience, but and we can do it. But it's nice to be back in person.
Yeah. Well, and we talked about how, you know, there are people showing up and they come up to talk and, you know, you're disinfecting, you know, that area once they're done. Are there sort of procedures in place, though? Because right now you're getting, you know, 10, 12 folks show up. But what happens when we get a big issue, because distancing then maybe not so easy.
Right. Well, there's a couple of things about that. One, if it's maybe up to 50 people, we think we can handle that in our chambers at the city county building. But if we have a large issue before us where we know we're going to have 100 or 200 people that want to provide comment, we'll move. We'll use the Civic Center, we'll use the fairgrounds, something like that, and we'll get in a venue where we can accommodate the social distance.
So there's sort of some loose contingency plans.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like, so much of this, it's we have to wait and see, you know, because it's just changing all the time. And but one thing that tends to get people out in terms of topic, zoning issues, I don't know how deep we want to dive into that, but you've had some zoning issues starting, you know, in the North Valley. We've been talking about that lately.
Right. So, yes, the county, we passed a growth policy in 2015, and that growth policy in this area focused on how to accommodate growth through the lens of dealing with fire, roads, water, wastewater, and floods. And so how do we try to put management tools on the ground that work with those issues and make sure that those constraints are addressed in our growth so that we don't set ourselves up to be doing a subdivision in a flood zone or putting lots of houses in fire danger and those kinds of things, which we have done in the past. And you can drive all over the valley and in the hills around Helena, and you can see the way we've grown in the past. So we want to put a little more sense to that. We've been working on that for the last decade. And so this zoning proposal that is now coming before the community. And last night, the planning board had their first meeting with the community at the Civic Center. I was not there. I don't know how it went yet, but I'm excited to hear about that. But we've been having preliminary meetings and educational meetings in the community. The proposal is out there. It's on the county website now. People can look at that. Over the next 2 to 3 months, we're taking public comment. We're having public meetings. We're really trying to have a conversation with the community about how do we produce and create the best product that will help deal with these issues for the long term. And all of us, you know, we're leaving this community. We're the caretakers now.
Right.
We're leaving this community to our children and grandchildren. How do we want to grow? We know that more people are coming. You know, it's estimated that maybe 20,000 more people in the next 20 years, you know, 1,000 people a year kind of thing. And so how do we make sure that we're putting management tools on the ground that support that? And so this zoning proposal, we believe, does that. It's very basic. It's very generic. It's not very onerous. to most, and most people probably won't even be affected by it. If you already own a home or something out in the valley, you wouldn't even be generally affected by it unless you're going to do some sort of huge change to your property. But we think that this is one tool in our toolbox that state law allows us to do, and other communities have done it, and I think we'd be the 14th county to have some sort of zoning like this in our community, and it really can facilitate that more managed growth. And you know, we need to look at where do we want to put our infrastructure? Where are we anticipating the greatest densities? Where can we anticipate working with the city to extend water and sewer and mm-hmm. those kinds of things in the future? And if we just grow haphazardly, without really thinking it through and being thoughtful about it and laying those patterns on the ground that can make sense for schools and all kinds of things. You just saw us build a couple of new schools or several new schools, and one Jim Darcy out in the valley, which is already full.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, we don't even take into account impacts on schools or some roads or some systems. Water's another big issue. Fire and flood are big issues, and sometimes in our current form, we don't even take those into account when we're growing. So this would give us predictability. So if you're a developer or you have a 50 acres out in the valley and it was zoned, you can say it's zoned for X, you know, residential or commercial, and then you know what you can do. And you have some predictability about what it will cost you and what the infrastructure issues are around that, because zoning kind of describes that. So it is it's a positive for the most part from my perspective. The concerns are out there that, you know, some people don't want any kind of restrictions on their property. They don't want to have issues around
right.
People telling them what to do with
their property. Yeah, and it sounds like, you know, when you start talking, oh, we're going to talk about zoning, people's eyes kind of glaze over, right? And they go, oh, it's paperwork, it's rules, regulations, and sort of tune out. But I think this one of those situations where, you know, is something, it seems like you make a decision after a long process, and then people get upset saying, wait, I didn't have a chance to voice my opinion about this.
Right.
Well, you did. And that's what this time is now. The plan's out there. Read it. Get involved. Too often, I think people say, I didn't have a chance to be heard. It's just because they weren't involved and they didn't know that they missed their chance to be right. heard.
I can't underscore that enough. We encourage people to get involved. This is a community effort and a community conversation. And the plan is out there. And I would encourage people not to make judgment upon that plan until they read it. And right. I'll be asking people as they come to the microphone to give us feedback, did you actually read the plan? And did you ask questions about it? The parts you don't understand, let's talk about them. But many people pass judgment on zoning, just the Z word, before they even look at what is being proposed. Yeah. So I'm encouraging people to really understand it and work with us to develop the best plan that we can for our community.
Lewis and Clark County Commissioner Andy Hunthausen is our guest on Coffee Break today. And we were chatting also real briefly before the show started about the situation down at the Motor Vehicle Department. They are now opening back up along with the rest of the state, but they've got a lot of backlog down there. And so what's going on down there? Because there's a lot.
There is a lot, and it's a tough situation. And so first I ask for people's patience. We've been getting a lot of feedback lately,
right.
And not the good kind,
right.
But it is really difficult. We have a situation there where, you know, pretty cramped quarters. I think we only have four windows, and we have people working in the back as well, trying to process as many registrations and titles and things as they can. But of course, half of March, all of April, all of May, for the most part, we did not have, you know, we were essentially closed. We were taking appointments and those kinds of things. So there's a lot of backlog. And so everyone now is coming and trying to get their tags or trying to get their, you know, their titles done and those kinds of things. And it starts our season where lots of people are buying toys and those kinds mm-hmm. of things. This is when it happens and people want to get out there and recreate as well. So it's a really difficult situation. So we ask for people's patience. We also want people to understand that we have tried to do several things. One, we're trying to hire a couple more staff to help in there. We'll have a triage I'm calling it my word for it, out in the lobby to help when people come in, they can talk to a person and say, do I have the right paperwork? You know, so they don't stand in line for 2 hours sure. and then find out, oh, you need this or that, or you don't have the right thing. And that's happened to several people. And boy, we apologize for that. But it kind of is the situation we're in. So try to triage people. We're trying to do more online. Flyers. And if you go on the website, you can do much of this work online. We can't do title work online yet. But yesterday, as a matter of fact, and he hasn't even received this yet, so it's not fair to him, but the commission sent a letter to the Attorney General because this is really a Department of Justice function, mm-hmm. and counties, you know, play that role in the counties. They are the agent in the counties, but it is a Department of Justice role. So we sent a letter to the Attorney General asking him to consider more options for Montana. We look at other states like Michigan, for example. You can do everything online. You can do title work. You can do all kinds of things. And many states now, when you buy a new vehicle or a recreational vehicle at a dealership, you can do all that work right there at the dealership. They allow that to be done. Oregon's another state where everything can be done online. And we have also satellite offices where there's third-party vendors, if you will, someone sanctioned to do this work in the community. It might cost a little bit more, but they're able to do that. So we've asked for all of those things to be considered by the state to reduce the backlog in the lines that we have. But for now, we need to be patient. We're working really hard to try and improve the situation, but it's a difficult.
Yeah. And is it a setup where you potentially are you waiting in your car? Or because, like you said, that waiting area is very small.
It is small.
So what are sort of those social distancing measures? I know you've got some in place down there.
We do. So we're asking people to wear masks. We also have tape on the floor, 6 feet apart. It is a difficult situation. I've walked through there several times in the last couple of weeks where, you know, it's been iffy if people are able to keep their distance. So some people are waiting outside if it's nice enough, or waiting in their cars or whatever. They can take a number and come back. We also have, which I'm glad you reminded me of that, we also have a camera there, so people can go on their phones or on their computers. They can see what the line's like. They can see what number they're on, and they can come as in a time when it's not as busy. But it's a really difficult situation right now, and we're working our best to solve it, but hard. And we have a couple of employees from that department as well that have are high risk for COVID, so we're trying to keep them separate from the public. Those kinds of things. So it just amplifies the issues that we have there.
So it might be smart to call them ahead of time. Like you said, you have people in the lobby sort of, you know, working to find out, you know, do you have what you need? But especially if it's going to be a little bit of a wait, maybe call and say, here's what I'm looking to get. What do I need to bring? Be a little proactive.
Absolutely. Call. And, I apologize there as well, because I know that they've gotten a high call volume as well. So some people haven't gotten through right away. Limited number of employees in there. So, But call. There's also opportunity to set appointments, so you can make an appointment and come in at your appointed time, and then you don't have to wait in line, which is nice. Mm-hmm. There isn't a free ride necessarily out there, but the sheriff's office and the city police are working with people. If you have expired plates and it's last month, and you know that the COVID shutdown didn't allow you to go in last month, they're trying to work with people and be pretty lenient on folks to say, you know, get in there when you can, but we understand, you know, the situation. So people aren't being penalized most often, unless it's like last May
right,
or
right.
You know, last October or whatever, that their plates were expired. But if it's recent and they can, you know, connect the dots that, yeah, this is COVID related, they're being pretty lenient with folks and trying to work with people.
So. Yeah. Lewis and Clark County Commissioner Andy Hundhausen is our guest on Coffee Break today. We do have to take a break this morning, so we'll go ahead and do that now, but then we'll come back and chat more with the commissioner. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
In today's always-on world, your business demands a simpler approach to network security. At Blackfoot Communications, we deliver state-of-the-art security solutions from the perimeter to endpoint devices and remote data backup for businesses across Montana. Ensure your company's network is online all the time. For more information, visit goblackfoot.com/security.
Welcome back in. This is Coffee Break, and I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for sticking around this morning. Do appreciate that. And Lewis and Clark County Commissioner Andy Hunthausen is our guest in the studio today. And we are chatting Motor Vehicle Department before the break. And I do want to at least touch on, because we've got a little bit of time left, the detention center renovation. You guys have been on top of that. It seems like that's been going pretty well.
Yeah, overall, Troy, it's been going really well. You know, we have a bit of a delay due to the COVID situation, and you know, it just slowed things down, everything from getting materials to workers that were at high risk or whatever it might be. But this week actually is the planned week that the lower floor and the main floor will be turned over to the county to begin going through essentially a punch list and starting to work with that space. You know, we have to hire many more detention officers to work with the expanded space, but also they're going to have to train in that space. They're going to have to learn the systems. You know, we all have all new systems, everything from the security systems to how things are laid out. So there's going to be some training time and some discovery of, wow, this door was put on backwards or whatever it might be. You know, there's going to be little things that we discover that have to be fixed. Or
what does this light switch do?
right. So there'll be some of that kind of thing. But overall, we're excited. So this lower part, and if people remember, there's three floors or 2.5 floors, really. There's a downstairs main floor and then the upstairs where the long-term detention center has been. And the entire building is being turned into detention space. So the lower two floors are being renovated now. And when it's ready, the detainees will be moved down to those floors, and there'll be a renovation of the top floor. And so the entire project will be done by mid-September.
Okay.
So they're planning to turn the whole building over to us mid-September. You know, as you said, things are kind of up in the air, and we're expecting maybe a week or two or whatever of delays depending on what happens, but we're hoping that it's right in that time frame when we get the building turned over to us. And then again, there'll be some training and some staffing issues, and you know, these are staff that specialize training and they go to the academy and all those kinds of things. So we had to hire another near 30 or so of them, so it's a challenging effort, but it's coming together and it looks great. There's been some preliminary tours. Matter of fact, I believe the sheriff is talking about maybe even having some prominent people in the community, like maybe a radio host or folks like that, have a sleepover in the new facility
to
see what it's like, so they can report to the community about what it's like. Hopefully we'll be able to give some tours to citizens if they're interested in coming to see the space. And the part that I'm really excited about, Troy, is right now we have no space for doing any kind of programming, working with people with mental illness or working with people with addictions or those kinds of things. We do what we can, but in the new space, we'll have programming space. We have a therapeutic staff on board now. We have a medical staff on board. We're going to be doing more work with every person that comes in, evaluating them for suicidality, for mental illness, for addiction, those kinds of things, and try to get them some assistance that they need. With the idea is, you know, what brought you here? What can we do to make sure you don't come back? Not just hold you and punish you. I mean, that people have to be accountable for what they do, but that's not the main goal. The main goal would be, you know, how do we help this person function better in the community so that they don't come back here? We don't want them involved in the criminal justice system.
Yeah.
It's the last thing we want. So how can we facilitate their health and connection to the community providers that might be able to help them, whether it's housing, medical needs, addiction needs, whatever. And so
how are we looking there budget wise I mean, because any big project, there's always a, oh, we found something that we didn't know about. It really seems that always happens. Has that been happening here, or are we doing okay?
So very, very proud to say that no, not really, it hasn't.
Good.
We've you know, we saved a bunch of money for this project over the years, as well as the voters passed a levy. And so those funds are being used, and we're within the limits of those. We've done well to stay on budget and generally on time. We're a little over time, but we're generally on time and looking forward to that, as well as the programming side. You know, that was part of what was passed by the voters as well. So we're trying to live up to what we asked them for and get all of that in place. We have the criminal justice services programming in place now, the pretrial services, and a therapeutic staff in the facility, and on all of those kinds of things. So we're really trying to do what we said we were going to do. And now, you know, the proof will be in the pudding, where when we get this thing up and going, are we seeing the results that we plan to see and hope to see? And I think we will, but yeah, it's that's yet to be seen. So
Andy Hunhausen, Lewis and Clark County Commissioner, is our guest this morning. We've still got some time left with him, and we mentioned budget for that construction project, the renovation project, but we're also looking at budget just for the county right now, and the fiscal year doesn't line up with calendar year, so it's sometimes confusing, but we're not that far away from having to have in place fiscal year 2021, are we?
No, we're right there. So our fiscal year runs July 1 to June 30th, so we're almost to the end here. A week or so, 2 weeks. And so we've been working through the budget process. Our staff and our department heads start way back in December, January, beginning to prepare their budgets. The commission meets with each department in April, May, and we've done that now. And we also meet with the city on those joint things that we fund together or that we work on together. And so we've been going through that process. Really proud of our folks. They've really come with responsible, appropriate budgets in this time of COVID and uncertainty. They've come with just status quo budgets for the most part, and we're really trying to hold the line and make sure that we're responsible to citizens. We recognize that in May here, tax revenues came in like normal, you know, it was, but in the fall is where we're a little bit uncertain about what will happen, you know, businesses and folks that may not be back employed, whatever it might be, that that could affect revenues, and it could put the county in a tough place. So we're trying to be thoughtful about that and not try to do anything extraordinary that would put pressure on the taxpaying public. So we're trying to stay just normal and status quo for now, for the most part, and still provide the service that we can, a good service that we have been.
And we have been getting money. There is money available when we talk, you know, COVID-related stuff. There's money through federal and state grants, right?
Right. So it has to be COVID-related. So what we've done since this started is we've asked all of our departments and folks to document everything COVID-related. So expenses that have been COVID-related, losses that have been COVID-related, those kinds of things. And so we will try to recover as many of those costs that are eligible as we go forward here. And so, for example, if we had to ramp up or hire employees or do something special because of COVID, rent a facility, or like we're just talking about, if we have to hold our commission meetings at the Civic Center, we're going to have to, you know, rent that space essentially and from the city. And so those kinds of things are as a result of COVID. So we'd be reimbursed for those kinds of things. So we're just tracking everything and making sure that we address that, and hopefully we'll be made whole as we go forward.
We've got about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes left with Commissioner Hunhausen this morning. And when we talk COVID, the county really is doing very, very well in terms of cases and that sort of thing.
Really proud of folks, and folks should pat themselves on the back. I think as a community, we've done really, really well. We've only have 20 cases in our county, which is 20 too many, but compared to the state and country, we're doing pretty well for one of the urban counties, and people have been very, very good. They're wearing their masks. They're trying to take precautions. They're staying home when they can and keeping their distance. So I think we have to stay diligent and vigilant. I mixed those.
You made a new word. I like it.
Yeah, maybe just use the one.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope people continue to stay on it and don't let complacency be your new guide. We have to stay diligent.
I like it. We've got about a minute and a half left, and I guess at least enough time to touch on. We had a fire this weekend, and I don't know that it crept into Lewis and Clark County, but it's certainly a good reminder, an early reminder that that season is here. We need to do late mitigation work. If you got to get out there and do it, now's the time.
Right. Yes, that was a very scary reminder of our summer experiences. And so, yes, that is the message. People need to pay attention. Only you, as Smokey said, only you can prevent forest fires. And it is true. So the human-caused fires are the ones we have control over, so people need to be careful, take care of their properties, clean them up, do the work they can. Tri-County Fire Safe Working Group has all kinds of opportunity and training for people or a guide for people to clean up their properties. Tri-County Fire Safe Working Group.org. And folks need to be careful when they're out there. If it's windy, if it's dry, don't light a fire. Campfires, keep them small. If you don't need to have one, don't do it. And be safe and pay attention.
Yeah. And of course, right now we're also. This is like a weird. We had flood watches. We had forest fire going. But we have winter weather warning until I think noon today. But now it is flood season as well. So people can't forget about that fact, because we've still got a month or more of that potential too.
You're absolutely right. And those flood prone areas need to be prepared. The folks in those areas, they need to make sure their properties are prepared and. They have plans for getting out if they need to, and for their animals and other things. But being prepared is the key for fire and flood. Be prepared.
Yeah. Andy Hunhausen, Lewis and Clark County Commissioner, thanks for coming in today. I know you guys are very busy. You have a meeting. It's tomorrow, right?
Right. Yeah.
So people can show up. They just need to bring a mask. Is that the setup?
Bring a mask and sit 6 feet apart, and everyone's welcome.
Okay.
We'll do what we can to accommodate them.
Yeah, you can go and hang out and see Andy at work and say hi to Susan and Jim and the rest of the crew. So thanks for coming in. I sure appreciate it. There's lots going on in the county, from detention center renovations to keeping our eye on fires to possible flooding. Budgeting is happening. There's never a dull moment. You always got something to do.
Right. Right. You bet.
That's all the time we have, though, this morning for Coffee Break. I sure appreciate you tuning in. Stick around. Lots more great programming coming up still this morning on KCAP. Right now, we'll check in with the national news. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.